Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh, and in this audio we'll discuss the writer Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Okay? But in this lecture, we'll focus more on the contribution of Coleridge to the field of literary criticism. Okay? Now, the most important work of literary criticism written by Samuel Taylor Coleridge is Biographia Literaria. Okay? Biographia Literaria. And in particular, there are two chapters in this entire work, chapter number 13 and 14, where most of the important ideas expressed by Coleridge are stated. Okay? So sometimes in the exam, they also ask you the chapter number. Okay? So chapter 13 and 14. Okay? Now, in Biographia Literaria, there are a few important ideas that Coleridge talks about. First, he talks about fancy. Then he talks about imagination. Then he talks about two different types of imagination. One is primary imagination and second is secondary imagination. So what is the difference between primary and secondary imagination? And then what is the difference between fancy and imagination? Okay? This is something that you should definitely know. Now, before I explain all of this, few points I want to add about Biographia Literaria in general. Okay? First thing, you should know that this was published in 1817, okay, 1817, in two volumes, okay, in two volumes. Now, in the first volume, he talks about his friendship with William Wordsworth, with Robert Southey, okay, because if you know, all of these were friends. After that, Coleridge also talks about the various influences of the ideas of different philosophers, different scholars on his own ideas, okay. So, he talks about people like Immanuel Kant, philosopher Immanuel Kant. Afterwards, he also goes on to distinguish between fancy and imagination. Okay? Then, in the second volume of the Biographia Literaria, the main emphasis is on literary criticism. So, it is here that he proposes various theories about the creative process, about the historical sources of elements of poetry. Okay? And one more fact you should know about Biographia Literaria is the full title. Sometimes they also ask, what is the full title of Biographia Literaria? Okay, full title hai iska, Biographia Literaria or Biographical Sketches of My Literary Life and Opinions. Okay, ye full title hai. Okay, Biographia Literaria or Biographical Sketches of My Literary Life and Opinions. Okay, and also keep in mind that some critics have also said that Biographia Literaria is a kind of fusion of autobiography, literary criticism, and also philosophical and religious theory of Coleridge. Okay, it's a kind of fusion. Okay, now after that, let's take up fancy. F-A-N-C-Y. So what is fancy as per Coleridge? See, fancy is a kind of mechanical ability to recombine and rearrange existing images or sensory images and experiences. So in one line, if you want to find out what is fancy, this is it. It's a mechanical ability to recombine and rearrange, okay, existing sensory images and experiences. So think about it in this way, that it is considered as a lower form of mental activity as compared to imagination. Okay? Because as Coleridge says, fancy does not have the transformative power of imagination and is limited to constructing new combinations from pre-existing elements without creating anything truly original or profound. Okay? Something that truly can be called original that cannot be created by fancy. And in Biographia Literaria, there is a famous sentence where he describes this. Okay? Let me quote that sentence. Quote, fancy has no other counters to play with but fixities and definites. Okay, ye jo phrase hai na, bahut important. Fixities and definites. Okay? Fancy has no other counters to play with but fixities and definites. The fancy is indeed no other than a mode of memory emancipated from the order of time and space. Unquote. So this is how Coleridge describes fancy. Okay? So just keep in mind this phrase, fixities and definites. Okay? And keep in mind that fancy is more of a mechanical and associative process. It is limited to fixities and definites. So it doesn't have the power to penetrate into the deeper meaning or essence of things. Okay? And thereafter, Coleridge goes on to describe what he calls imagination. Okay? Let me quote few lines which Coleridge says. Okay? Quote, imagination produces a much higher kind of poetry. Okay? It dissolves, diffuses and dissipates. Okay? Dissolves, diffuses and dissipates in order to recreate. Or where this process is rendered impossible, yet still at all events it struggles to idealize and unify. It is essentially vital, even as all objects are essentially fixed and dead. Unquote. Okay, so just keep in mind this phrase that imagination dissolves, diffuses and dissipates in order to recreate. Okay? So what Coleridge is trying to say is that imagination is able to create rather than merely reassemble by dissolving the fixities and definites. Okay? So in a way, the faculty of the imagination assimilates and synthesizes the most dissimilar or disparate elements into a organic whole. Okay? This is something which fancy cannot do. Only imagination can do. Okay? Now, after that, Coleridge says that imagination can be divided at two levels, primary and secondary. So, what is the difference between primary and secondary? See, primary imagination is something fundamental to human perception. Okay? It is a faculty or a power or a talent that everybody has. Okay? Whereas, secondary imagination is a higher and more creative power that only artists or poets possess. Okay? This is not something that every human being has. Only artists have, poets have. So secondary imagination builds on the primary imagination, okay? And shaping and transforming the raw material of experience into works of art, okay? So secondary is something more refined, something more advanced, okay? So just remember, what is the difference between fancy and imagination? After that, what is the difference between primary imagination and secondary imagination, okay? Now, after that, there is one more thing that you should know about, and this is also which Coleridge talks about in this work, Biographia Literaria. Okay? It is the phrase willing suspension of disbelief. So, sometimes in the exam, they also ask you the meaning of this phrase, willing suspension of disbelief. Kya hota hai? Now, in chapter 14, okay, in chapter 14, there is a famous quotation. Let me quote that. Quote, that willing suspension of disbelief for the moment which constitutes poetic faith. Unquote. Okay? That willing suspension of disbelief for the moment which constitutes poetic faith. Okay? This quotation comes or can be found in chapter 14. Okay? Ye yaad rakhna, because sometimes they also give direct quotations. And they can ask you which chapter of Biographia Literaria does this come from. Okay? It comes from chapter 14. This one. Okay? Kya matlab hai ye willing suspension of disbelief ka? See, as a definition, it just means that when the reader or the audience temporarily accept anything fantastical or unreal that may be there in a literary work for the purpose of trying to make sense of the poem or the literary work, that is what willing suspension of disbelief is. So, for the purpose of enjoying or appreciating the imaginative literature, if I just accept something which cannot happen in real life, but in the poem or in the literary work it is happening, then it is a willing suspension of disbelief. For example, when we watch a movie, a hero jumps from third floor or fifth floor, okay, of the building, and nothing will happen to the hero. The hero goes after the villain, starts running after the villain, and eventually hero wins. Aisa real life mein ho sakta hai kya? The answer is no. Because agar real life mein teesre ya chauthe ya panchve floor se koi kood jaye, chahe hero ho ya villain ho, uske haath pair toot jayenge. Theek hai? To villain ko pakadna, villain ke piche bhagna, wo to baat ki cheez hai. The hero will get injured. But in a literary work or in a, let's say, even a film, theek hai? Temporarily we suspend that disbelief with the fact that the hero survived just to enjoy the literary work. Okay? So, it is a willing suspension of disbelief on part of the reader. Okay? So, this is what willing suspension of disbelief is. When we willingly accept anything unreal or fantastical in a literary work, which is of course essential for enjoying or appreciating the imaginative literature, just for that purpose when we accept it, it is willing suspension of disbelief. Okay? Now, after this, let me tell you one more important fact. It is very much relevant from an exam point of view. In chapter 13, okay, slightly going back to chapter 13 of the Biographia Literaria, jo starting line jo hai, it is, quote, on the imagination or SM plastic power, unquote. Okay, on the imagination or SM plastic power. So, at the outset of this chapter, Coleridge equates imagination with something he calls ESM plastic power. ESEMPLASTIC, ESEM plastic power. So they can ask you in the exam, which writer coined this word ESEM plastic? It is Coleridge. He equates ESEM plastic power with imagination. Okay? So from an exam point of view, just remember the important points that Coleridge talks about in Biographia Literaria. One, what is fancy? What is imagination? What is the difference between the two? Uske baad, what is the difference between primary imagination and secondary imagination? After that, what is willing suspension of disbelief? Okay? So, kam se kam ye char cheeze aapko pata honi chahiye when you study romantic literary criticism. Okay?